May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Advocating for forgiveness is not usually a very popular thing to do. We like forgiveness in the abstract. We like forgiveness when it applies to us. But we have a harder time when someone comes up and starts talking about forgiving someone who we are very clear does not deserve forgiveness. And I know this because I can just imagine, and I expect you can too, what would happen if one of our presidential candidates came out and said, you know, these terrorists have a legitimate beef with us, we should forgive them and seek to make peace with them. I think you probably can imagine what the reaction would be, especially since we have already watched crowds cheering as candidates call for us to kill every terrorist and possibly their families too. Forgiveness, particularly when it is those who have wronged us, have truly wronged us, is not a very popular thing to advocate for. And I think that's because forgiveness is not really a human trait. Forgiving others is not something that comes to us naturally or easily. Forgiveness is not the first thing that springs to our mind when we have been hurt, when we have been wounded, when we are in the midst of anger and grief. Forgiveness, and how do we get to forgiveness, is not the thing that comes to our mind. It is not the thing that comes naturally to us. It is not a thing that is easy for us. Forgiveness is not really a human trait, but it is a divine trait. It is a trait of the God who loves us so deeply and completely, even when we are thoroughly and completely wrong. And that's what we see in today's gospel, this story of the prodigal son. Because we see a father who has been wronged. His son has done unforgivable things. He has demanded his share of the property. He has wasted it. He knows what he has done is wrong. And we'll note that their very same son doesn't actually decide to seek forgiveness until there's something in it for him. Human beings don't seek forgiveness any easier than we offer forgiveness. But that son, pushed to see the consequences of his actions, offers forgiveness. Offers an apology, repentance. It's hard to see whether or not he's really sincere. He comes up with some really pretty words. But let's face it, most of us, when we see the father running out to greet him and killing the fatted calf, figure the father's a bit of a chump. How can the father offer forgiveness even before the son has asked for it? How can he offer forgiveness without some evidence that this repentance is genuine? And that's exactly what the elder son says, isn't it? The elder son, who has done his job, who has been faithful, says, how can you offer forgiveness to that son of yours? He doesn't deserve it. He doesn't really think he did anything wrong. I'm the one you should be rewarding. I'm the one you should be celebrating. Not that younger son who doesn't deserve forgiveness. Both very human reactions. Not to seek forgiveness until there's something in it for us. Not to repent until we have no other choice. And when we see forgiveness in someone else, to be angry that it's offered to someone so completely and utterly undeserving of it. Very human reactions. And yet, the Father comes and pleads with both of them. The Father offers that forgiveness, and he comes and pleads with that elder son to come and join them in that celebration. Because the thing that absolutely defines the Father is his love for both his sons. His vast and deep love for both younger son who has strayed and has failed him so thoroughly, and for his elder son who has worked so hard alongside him. The defining feature of this Father is love. Love that simply cannot withhold forgiveness. And that's why forgiveness is a divine trait. Because loving that way, loving that completely despite what's been done to us, that is a gift of God. And it is a gift that is given to each and every one of us. Because as St. Paul says elsewhere in his letters, while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. That love offered to us before it occurred to us to repent. That love offered to us as forgiveness for everything that we had and would do wrong. And that's why Paul talks about the ministry of the church as being that of reconciliation. Because forgiveness is not really a human trait. It isn't going to come naturally to us. And just because we have been forgiven doesn't mean we will immediately and instantly start forgiving everyone else. It turns out forgiveness isn't really a human trait. And so it is only when we become a new creation in Christ that we begin that process, that ministry of reconciliation. I've been reading a book this week called Forgiven, about the schoolhouse shootings of 10 Amish schoolgirls in the Nickelback Mines area of Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, back about a decade ago. And if you remember that happening, the happening, as the Amish of the area referred to it ever after, you remember that a troubled young father came into the schoolhouse with several weapons, locked the doors, sent the boys and the teacher and the adults out of the room, and then shot 10 little girls, 5 of whom died immediately, 4 of whom recovered, and 1 of whom was permanently disabled. And what was shocking was not just the terrible, horrible tragedy of it all, not just the sin of the shooter and the horror that this could happen. What shocked the world was that the Amish community's reaction, immediate reaction, was to extend forgiveness to the shooter and to his family. They sent delegations to knock on the doors of his wife and children, to knock on the doors of his parents, and to offer comfort and shared grief and an assurance of their forgiveness for the horrific acts that had been done against them. This shocked people. I remember at the time people talking about how on earth could they do this? That horrible man. But it became the defining story. As someone pointed out, the Amish didn't really give the press anything else to talk about, not being people fond of cameras. And so the world marveled at this story of forgiveness. And as I read this book written by
Terry Roberts, the mother of the shooter.
This story, this account from a counselor who worked with the Amish immediately after, struck me. Early on, there were those who struggled with whether they individually in their hearts had forgiven Charlie, the shooter. Even though they were grateful that the Amish way is to do so, and that the community as a whole stood in forgiveness, even in the midst of their struggle. That's how we all survive these things, to stand together, to stand with each other, and sometimes to stand for each other. And the Amish stand together in support of one another in forgiveness. St. Paul says to the church that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. We have been given the ministry of forgiveness. Not because forgiveness is something we are good at, but because the only way we can learn to forgive as God forgives, to be those ministers of reconciliation that God seeks to make us into, is to stand together and practice forgiveness. To understand that this is the Christian way to forgive, to pray for our enemies, to forgive those who have wronged us. We can't do it alone because forgiveness is not particularly a human trait. It takes practice and it takes the support of one another. And it takes the reminder that even when our own hearts are filled with anger, it is the ministry of the church to forgive, to seek reconciliation, to long for the love of God that loves so deeply and so profoundly that none of us is ever so far away that we cannot be forgiven, cannot be reconciled to God. We are called to live in that love. We are called to stand with one another in that love and in support of forgiveness. Forgiveness for all those who have wronged us. Forgiveness for our enemies. Forgiveness in a world in which forgiveness is not popular. We are called to love and to forgive because in Christ we are a new creation. In Christ we become together the beginnings of that kingdom in which forgiveness is possible, in which love is what defines us. We may, probably do, identify more with the two brothers in the parable. But we are called together by a God who loves us so deeply, so profoundly, that while we were yet sinners, he ran out to greet us. A Father whose love is so great that forgiveness is possible. And we are called to the ministry of reconciliation that lives out and embodies that forgiveness. We are called to stand together because doing it by ourselves is just too hard. And we are called to be the body of Christ, the embodiment of that love and that forgiveness to the whole world.